We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall never surrender until, in God's good time, the new world, with all its power and might, steps forth to the rescue and the liberation of people.
In times of universal deceit, truth is the only rebellion left. An organization called Generation Citizens issues a new report that calls for reducing the federal voting age to 16. This is the most profoundly stupid idea I've ever heard. We'll talk about this and more on today's Rebellion. Good morning and welcome to today's Rebellion. Thank you for listening into the show. As I said in the introduction, today's topic is this report that was just issued by an organization called Generation Citizens. It's an organization that stands against stuff like House Bill 1775 here in Oklahoma. They say that this is a censorship bill, that House Bill 1775, which says nothing other than it's illegal in the state of Oklahoma to teach our students that one race is superior to another race, or that one race is inferior to another race. That's what the bill says. And this organization that's funded by the Kaiser Foundation, the Soros Foundation, the Bezos family, and others, this organization called Generation Citizens says that the solution to the problem, quote-unquote, of HB 1775 is to empower 16-year-olds to vote in the United States of America, to give a bunch of spoiled adolescents the right to vote in our country. I don't know anybody in their right mind that would ever suggest that a teenager of 16 years of age should have the right to vote. There's a reason we have age limits for certain things in our country. There's a reason you have to be of age to buy cigarettes. There's a reason you have to be of age to buy alcohol. There's a reason you have to be of age to consent to sexual activity. The reason for all of this is children are not prepared to make adult decisions. Why? Because they're foolish. They're stupid. They haven't learned life's lessons yet. They don't function like adults. They don't think of others. They think of themselves. Anybody who's a parent knows this, and I'm not being disparaging toward kids. Any good mom and dad knows that when your kids reach their teenage years, that that's a challenging time. They're growing up. Hopefully, they're maturing through that process to become thoughtful adults. But while they are 14, 15, 16 years of age, most of them aren't all that thoughtful or self-controlled. There's a reason we don't allow 16-year-olds to vote in this country. There's a reason we have an age limit even for what's required to run for the presidency of the United States, because our founding fathers were smart enough to recognize that if you don't have enough life experience under your belt, you're probably not prepared to lead the country. But yet, these leftists want to give 16-year-olds the right to vote in this country. So I'm going to talk about that particular issue on today's show. I'm going to remind you what House Bill 1775 says. And I'm going to zero in on the lies, blatant lies, that organizations like Generation Citizens are still perpetuating, not just about HB 1775, but other blatant lies with regard to stories that have been refuted factually in the news, even by the mainstream news. But these people double down on perpetuating the lies because that's the way they win. That's the way they win, if you don't know the truth. All right, let's take an early break. When I get back, I'm going to share with you some specifics out of a story that was published by OCPA, the Oklahoma Council for Public Affairs, a conservative think tank down in Oklahoma City, where a couple of my friends, Trent England, as well as Brandon Dutcher, work, and they put out some very interesting and helpful information on this whole fiasco. You need to be aware of it. You need to scream against it. What kind of country will you live in if it's run by 16-year-olds. It certainly won't be one that honors your individual liberties and freedoms, I can tell you that. I'm Dr. Everett Piper, and this is The Rebellion. Let's take a break. I'll be right back in a couple minutes.
In 1978, George and Kate Tedford set out to protect Oklahoma businesses better. Today, their son and our CEO, Mark Tedford, is excited to carry on his family's legacy. Professional liability, compliance, property, workers' comp, health and life. Tedford Insurance's dedicated team gives you access to the nation's largest insurance providers, negotiates the best rates, and protects their own legacy like no one else. Call 918-299-2345 or tedfordinsurance.com.
The Patriot Auto Group, locally owned and operated. The Patriot family of dealerships takes great pride in supporting the communities we serve throughout the great state of Oklahoma. The Patriot Auto Group's charitable work has been recognized throughout Oklahoma. Whether it's visiting one of our local dealerships or simply shopping and buying online with our doorstep delivery, the Patriot Auto Group takes the stress out of buying a new or used vehicle. And every purchase comes with our exclusive peace of mind, Patriot Pledge. You get engines for life, plus 1 year maintenance, and 10 full years of roadside assistance, plus so much more. Sure, we can sell you a car, but supporting our community and lending a hand to our neighbors in need? Sold. The Patriot Auto Group. Proud Oklahomans in the communities we serve.
Okay, welcome back to The Rebellion. So this article that was put out by the Oklahoma Council for Public Affairs, again, a good organization down in Oklahoma City. It's kind of a Heritage Foundation derivative here in the state of Oklahoma. You need to support it and follow it. Google it. And then follow people like Brandon Dutcher, Trent England, and others that write for OCPA. I stumbled across this article this week, and basically it talks about this group, Generation Citizen, calling for 16-year-olds to have the right to vote in presidential elections, senatorial elections, vote for your House of Representatives. Now, if they can vote, why can't they also run for office? So if the first shoe to fall is the right to vote if you're 16, why wouldn't the next one be the right to run for office if you're 16? Now all of a sudden your nation is run by a bunch of spoiled adolescents that don't know how to clean their own room or do their own laundry. All right? I'm serious. If you're a parent, you know that you've had to fight with your kids when they're in their earlier to mid-teens about basic chores in the house, because they're selfish. They don't want to do it. They don't want to clean their own room. They'd rather have mom do it. They don't want to do their own laundry. They'd rather have their mother do so. They don't want to work for their money. They'd rather have their dad just give it to them. This is the nature of being an adolescent. This is the challenge of growing up. And then you've got hormones and emotions. You've got drama. You've got all of that stuff going on with teenagers. And these people are idiots. They're foolish enough to think that giving 16-year-olds the right to vote is a good thing. Actually, I think they intuitively know that it's a ridiculous idea. They just want more votes. They think if they can get all these poorly informed, self-centered teenagers involved in elections, that they can win. The progressives can win and gain more power. That's all this is about. That aside, here's what the OCPA article calls to your attention. The group, Generation Citizen, calls HB 1775 a censorship law. Now, I'm going to remind you what HB 1775 actually says. I'm going to go over it very quickly, okay? It's not that long, okay? No teacher, administrator, or other employee of a school district, charter school, or virtual charter school shall require or make part of a course the following concepts. A. One race or sex is inherently superior to another race or sex. B. An individual by virtue of his or her race or sex is inherently racist, sexist, or oppressive, whether consciously or unconsciously. C. An individual should be discriminated against or receive adverse treatment solely or partly because of his or her race or sex. D. Members of one race or sex cannot and should not attempt to treat others without respect to race or sex. E. An individual's moral character is necessarily determined by his or her race or sex. F. An individual, by virtue of his or her race or sex, bears responsibility for actions committed in the past by other members of the same race or sex. G, this is the final one. Any individual should feel discomfort, guilt, anguish, or any other form of psychological distress on account of his race or sex. So HB 1775 says you can't teach any of that. You can't teach that one race or sex is superior to another. You can't teach that one race or sex is inherently inferior to another. You can't teach that that's just the way they all are. People that look like that, they're of that race or sex. That's the way they are. That's the way they've always been. And by the way, you can't trust them. You know, they're the ones that have caused all our problems. That's what the bill says you cannot teach, period. Now, who in their right mind would think that that's bad? Why do you want to teach the opposite? Why in the world would you want to teach anyone, young people, that race or sex is a key factor in determining morality, in determining goodness, badness, and that if people look a given way, you know what? They're the ones responsible. Why in the world would you want to be teaching young people those terrible ideas? But oh no, you've got organizations like Generation Citizen that are calling that a censorship law because you can't teach kids to be racist. So that's a censorship law? You really want our public schools, your tax dollars, to be used to teach young people to be racists? To judge other people by the color of their skin? To blame groups of people that look that way for all of our nation's problems, all of our community's ills? Oh, my land. These people have lost their mind. So what they have, what these people, like Generation Citizen, have, one of the arrows they have in their quiver is something called Action Civics. And they actually believe that the solution to all of the nation's problems is to teach the opposite of what HB 1775 prohibits. In other words, they want to do all this stuff that HB 1775 says teachers in Oklahoma can't do. They want to teach action civics. They want to teach things like barriers to accessing quality civic education persist and are most pronounced among communities of color. That white students are 3 times more likely to achieve than Black and Latinx students. I'm reading from their report. That challenges have been compounded by a growing movement to outlaw nuanced teaching of our nation's past and enduring systemic inequities. And that, oh my land, 11 states have proposed legislation that would limit civic education. And states like Oklahoma, Texas, Florida, and North Dakota have already passed limitations on teaching your kids to be racist. Last part was my paraphrase. But everything I read before that was straight out of Generation Citizen's newly released annual report. Now, you can see from what I just read that they continue to lie about HB 1775. They're saying that we're prohibiting nuanced teaching of our nation's past and that we're prohibiting teaching our students about real history. That they can't talk about, your students can't learn about the Trail of Tears, for example, or the oppression of Blacks, either before the Civil War or after the Civil War, how people have been mistreated in our culture and our country. You can't teach that in the classroom. That's a lie. That's nonsense. Nothing in HB 1775 prohibits any teacher from teaching about the Trail of Tears and that it was a bad deal. Nothing in HB 1775 says that you can't teach about the United States breaking treaties with Native tribes. You can teach that stuff. It's factual history. But you just can't teach our students to be racist and to say, well, all those people of that color, they think this way and they act this way and they're responsible for the problems we've got today, you know? HB 1775 says, teach history as it exists. Don't politicize it. Talk about our blemishes and mistakes and our sins. But recognize that the best solution to all of the above is to stop looking at people through the lens of race and color and bias and gender. And start looking at people through the lens of character. Basically, HB 1775 is directly in line, lockstep with Martin Luther King's grand speech, where he said, "I have a dream that one day we will judge people by the content of their character rather than the color of their skin." But yet you have Generation Citizen sponsored by Tulsa's Kaiser Foundation, as well as the Soros Foundation and the Bezos family and others. You have this organization calling for a protest and legal challenge in court to HB 1775 because it's a censorship law. And, oh, by the way, once you challenge it in court and hopefully win, you know the next thing we need to do? We need to give 16-year-olds the right to vote. Oh, seriously, they're saying this. Generation Citizen, let's see, the group made headlines recently. I'm going back and reading from OCPA's article right now. A group made headlines for other reasons recently. Generation Citizen, a nonprofit funded by Leftist Foundation for Civic Leadership and all these other people I just mentioned, has a national campaign to lower the federal voting age to 16. Oh. Why are they doing this? Well, just look at the data. We know that two-thirds of the young voters, 60% plus of young voters, and I don't know for sure what the age bracket there is. I think it's 18 to 29. Yes, that's what it is. 18 to 29-year-olds will vote. Two-thirds of them will vote for Democrats. You think maybe they want to bring these 16-year-olds into the camp so that they can gain more power? They've been pushing this for some time. This is crazy talk. It is a lie. This organization not only calls 1775 a censorship bill, but it's the same foundation that still says on its website that Jussie Smollett's attack is not an isolated incident, but rather the larger part of a national pattern. He lied. It was fabricated. It's a complete, bald-faced lie. But yet it's a larger pattern. Well, yeah, it is a larger pattern of deception and lies of the left, but it has nothing to do with being a legitimate attack. There is nothing in this story that validates any racial violence whatsoever. Smollett made it up. Jeez. Oh, and also, they continue to say this. They accuse HB 1775 as being a law banning critical classroom discussions on race. Again, I read it to you. There's nothing in the language that bans a discussion on race. It just says when you do talk about components of our history, parts of our history, aspects of our history, where race is involved, Civil War, for example, Trail of Tears, for example, you talk about it factually. And you don't do stupid things like accusing Abraham Lincoln of being a racist just because he's white. You know, jeez. Oh, crazy talk. Crazy talk from the left. That's what I should have titled today's show. So, you know, I'm going to go back to what I wrote in Grow Up. Life isn't safe, but it's good. Maybe that's a good way to wrap up today's show. And wrap a bow around this craziness of giving 16-year-olds, teenagers, the right to vote. Let me read this to you. And this is from the introduction to Grow Up, Life Isn't Safe, But It's Good. I want you to hear this. In my book, Not a Daycare, The Devastating Consequences of Abandoning Truth, I pointed out some problems. I sounded the alarm that education today is in crisis. I gave example after example of how the contemporary academy is no longer in the business of pursuing truth, but rather is more interested in celebrating tolerance. I warned of the rising ideological fascism that now stands on the grave of education's proud tradition of academic freedom. I shared with you story after story of how today's colleges, schools, and universities look more like George Orwell's Ministry of Truth than they do institutions that actually believe they should be in the business of challenging propaganda rather than protecting it. I bemoaned the academy's worship of feelings over facts. I gave example after example of how pedantic elites, otherwise known as teachers and professors, tell those with whom they disagree that they cannot tolerate their intolerance and that they hate hateful people and that they're sure nothing is sure and that they know nothing can be known. I said this in the introduction of Grow Up. This is my industry, and I have to listen to this nonsense almost every day. Smart people actually parrot this stuff. It is literal nonsense, for it makes no sense. It's self-refuting at every turn. With every word out of the progressive mouth, they saw away at the very branch upon which they sit. Their circular arguments smack of watching a dog chase its tail. It'd be funny if it weren't so sad. But they should know better. Why don't they? Because they've been drinking their own Kool-Aid for so long that they've come to believe their own lies. Think of what I'm saying right now. I'm deviating from reading from the intro. This nonsense from Generation Citizen and the foundations that support it and the progressives that think these are actually good ideas. They've been drinking their own Kool-Aid for so long, they actually have come to believe this junk. They believe their own lies. And I've told you before, M. Scott Peck warned of all this. He called it the diabolical human mind. And my old friend Graham Walker, who was a provost of mine once at Oklahoma Wesleyan University, he said essentially the same thing when he wrote of the pathology of the intellect, the sickness of smart people. The Apostle Paul talks about it in his epistle to the Romans. He calls it the reprobate mind. And the message from all of these people, whether it be Walker, M. Scott Peck, or whether it be the Apostle Paul, it's the same. It's the same from all three and others. Richard Weaver, they all say the same thing. The longer we lie to ourselves, the more prone we become to believe in our own lies. The more we believe our own deception, the less reason we have to change. And I'm describing adolescence right now. I'm describing essentially what it means to be a teenager. You grow out of all this garbage as you mature and become an adult. You don't want to give people that are immersed in all of this nonsense the right to run our country, do you? Oh, there is a need to mature. There's a need to grow up. There's a need to act like an adult rather than a spoiled child or a self-absorbed adolescent. If we are comfortable in our own delusions, if we're not challenged, then we're never going to grow. We're going to be 45-year-old teenagers. We're going to be content to live off of the government dole rather than do things ourselves, especially if we've been taught by these idiots at Generation Citizen that it's everybody else's fault and not yours. I do believe there's an answer. I don't want to just end on a rant and another diatribe against the left. I'm guilty of that, I know. But the answer is found in mature thinking and mature ideas. I would argue the answer is in the old time-tested truths of the liberal arts, the liberating arts, in liberty, in freedom, taking responsibility, being personally culpable, and taking charge of your life rather than blaming others. The answer is found in pursuing truth rather than protecting your opinions. The answer is found in facts rather than your feelings. I think one of the most stressful conversations I've had in the recent years is having to look at somebody and say, I don't care about your feelings. Your feelings don't matter right now. What matters are the facts. And that didn't go over well, but hopefully someday that statement will resonate with the person that I had to challenge. Stop groveling in your feelings, people. I know I sound cold and heartless when I say that, but if you're so fixated on yourself that your feelings are the end-all and the be-all of every conversation, every conflict, every circumstance, if it's always about you and your feelings, you're anything but a scientist. You're not focusing on reality, on the empirical, on the factual, on the objective. You're not focusing on truth. You're focusing on how you feel. And that's not a good way to make judgments. It's not mature. It's not acting like an adult. Set your feelings aside and attend to the facts. And your feelings will adjust because of the facts. You shouldn't adjust the facts because of your feelings. The answer to all this junk that I'm talking about right now is found in the moral and intellectual laws that have been tested by time, defended by reason, validated by experience, and endowed to us by our Creator. See what I just did there? I referenced the quadrilateral again. That lens through which we should look at life. That lens that honors ideas that are tested by time, defended by reason, validated by experience, and endowed to us by our Creator. The solution is not what Generation Citizen, George Soros, and the Kaiser Family Foundation, and Bezos, and Zuckerberg and crew, Bill Gates, all the elites, they're doubling down on the problem. They're not offering a solution. The answer here is good ideas versus bad ideas, ideas of freedom versus fascism, ideas of self-giving versus selfishness, if you will. The answer is in personal responsibility, not personal grievance. The answer is in virtue, not victimization. The answer is growing up rather than griping and grousing. The answer is ideas, enduring ideas, ideas that have been proven by the test of time to work, ideas that actually help make us a mature nation of self-giving adults, rather than this fragmented, balkanized, divided culture of self-centered children. The answer is acting like an adult and empowering adults rather than perpetuating this infantilized world of me and mine and my feelings, and I can't do it, you need to do it for me, and your great-great-grandfather offended my great-great-grandmother, and therefore, it's all your fault. The 99 versus the 1. Blacks against whites. Men against women. LGBTQIA against everyone that's cisgendered. You know, real men, real women. Scientism versus science. Youth versus age. That's not the definition of a United States. That's not the definition of coming together. That's a divided people, not a united people. That's the drama of teenage girls and boys, of gossip, of blame, of selfish fixation. And these people are stupid enough, these leftists are stupid enough, to actually give voting rights to 16-year-olds. While they're teaching those 16-year-olds to never grow up. Talk about the dumbest idea I've ever heard. Lord help us. Literally, I'm saying that as a prayer. Lord help us. I'm Dr. Everett Piper, and this is The Rebellion.